Well, many of you know how I have this relationship with mathematics and how I've struggled with mathematics throughout my life and just simply have avoided it like the plague. But this past week while doing devotions with my wife one morning, the Lord inspired this message this morning about God's arithmetic. Oftentimes when one stops to think about God and how God works, sometimes things just don't seem to add up. Whether it be good times or bad times, it's hard for us in our human thinking to put two and two together and see God at work in the situations. Oftentimes when things go our way, we use words like coincidence, or maybe by chance, or maybe the words, everything just fell into place. By contrast, when things don't go our way or things fall apart, we often blame God. We call it a fluke, or we blame it on bad luck. But in all things, God is at work, calculating and bringing all things to a positive conclusion. In order to come to an accurate conclusion when adding things up mathematically, the person has to do the math. We have to do the math. We have to work through the problem and make calculations. We all make calculations every day. We say, "Oh, I just need to get over just a little farther, or maybe just a little less of this or less of that. Not so much in the recipe, or maybe I just need to spend a little more time." We make calculations in distance, amounts, and everything about life is calculations every day. Even spiritually, calculating is what's going on in my life from the Lord or is it from the devil? Some of us like math and some of us are very good at it. Remember in the old days it was reading, writing, arithmetic, it was basic math. Now today it's become more extensive. You know, all this pre-calc and all this stuff, I call it. I have a hard time understanding some of the new ways of math. I remember when we lived in Clearfield, our kids started doing what was called everyday math. It was so different than from what I learned growing up that they actually had to have a class for the parents and brought the parents in and taught the parents how to do the math so the parents could help the kids do the math. I said to my daughter, "Why are they wasting all of our time? Why don't we just do it the way we did it for years and years and years?" And we'd all understand it. Well, kind of chuckle about it, but when it comes to accurate conclusions about God, I'm thankful that we have the Bible to help us understand when these things don't add up in life. In the Bible we find bits and pieces, and when we put them together, these things help us understand God and understand His working, which is an awful lot like arithmetic. Because when one finds when they use the Bible correctly in regards to the sovereign creator of the universe, we find that God is the positive factor in all of life. There's all kinds of equations that we work on throughout our lives. And in equations we know there's positive and negative. The word arithmetic in the dictionary is described as the science or the art of computing by positive real numbers. The Oxford Dictionary describes arithmetic as the branch of mathematics dealing with the properties and the manipulation of numbers. Now, I'm making a connection here. Properties and manipulation in life. I mean, arithmetic screen God. If you really get down to the basics. Arithmetic is also described as the branch of mathematics that deals with addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Oh my gosh, folks. That's our God in here. That is God throughout the Bible, isn't it? He's always adding something to the situation. He's always subtracting something from the situation. He's always multiplying for His glory. And He's always dividing and gleaning out. And although God does all of these as He works His will, everything about God is positive. The way He works, His purpose, and His character. There, sadly, I meet people all the time who look at God and have this viewpoint of God as this negative, angry person that just can't wait to zap them when they do something wrong. And they get this mindset that if I don't behave all the time, God's going to spank me. So they live their lives in fear. The Bible tells us that we're to fear God, but not in the way that we view God as being an angry tyrant all the time. God is a positive God. It's the way He works. It's His purpose. It's His character. It's who He is. I know the texts today don't use the word positive to describe God. The words that the Bible uses from cover to cover are, in a sense, positive attributes describing God. In our text from 1 John this morning, John writes, "This is the message we've heard from Him," meaning Christ, "and declare to you, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." These words translated from the Greek language are meaning truth and error. But when we think about light and darkness, we start to see positives and negatives. And here we can see how John describes God in a positive way. God is light. He's positive. In Him there's no darkness. So if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet we walk in the darkness in negative ways, we lie and we don't live by the truth, because you can't walk negatively with a positive God and claim to have fellowship. He says, "But if we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son Jesus purifies us as all sin." As we walk with God in His positive light, Jesus continues to purify us and cleanse us in that walk. So we see in God's character, God is light, He's positive. He outshines the darkness or the negative. We see now in God's purpose, in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 50. If you know the story about Joseph, you know that his brothers were jealous of him. So they threw him in a cistern until some slave traders came along, and they sold him into slavery. Became a slave in Egypt. But he, in Egypt, reached the highest pinnacle below Pharaoh. In fact, Pharaoh trusted Joseph with everything. God was positively working in a negative situation to bring about God's glory, in which through Joseph, all of Joseph's descendants, his people, his family, were allowed to come to Egypt to live during the famine, and that's what saved God's people. God working His purpose positively. We also see God is positive in the way that He works. Romans 8:28 tells us we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. And you see, there's a key principle in this equation, life's equation. God works good for those who love Him. That's not to say God stops working in a person's life because they've turned away from God. But it shows us God works positively for those who honestly, earnestly love Him. We see God's character, His purpose, and the way He works. It's positive. In creation, in the very opening pages of the Bible, we saw God breathed and spoke. And it was good. It was positive. Until the enemy came and desecrated God's creation. We see in Noah how God took a disaster, a natural disaster, and turned it into good by providing the ark, cleansing the earth, and Noah and his family were saved. We see in Moses a baby set afloat in the Nile to save his very life from being killed. And what happened? He became the leader of the Hebrews who led God's people out of Egypt and out of slavery after being there 400 years. And it tells us in the Bible that God gave the people good land as He led them to this new land. In the kings that we see throughout the Old Testament, we see how the kings that were obedient to God brought God's blessing and prosperity on the land. But when the kings were disobedient, negative things happened to the people. David, this King David, God's chosen, though he was a sinner, God used David for good. And eventually the Messiah came from the line of David. When God's people were in exile, we say, well, why didn't God keep them from going into exile? It's because they disobeyed and they had turned away from God. He allowed them to go into exile for 70 years to draw them closer to Him. Out of that came many, many good things, one of them being the synagogues that were set up all over for the Jewish people to continue to meet and read the Scriptures and be enlightened. And God brought His people back. They rebuilt the temple. We see in Jesus' birth and His ministry and death, which would have seemed like a horrible, negative thing that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Messiah. And the angel said, behold, I bring you good news of great joy. A positive thing has happened. But oh my gosh, it turned out so negative, and that Jesus died, they killed Him. But on the third day, He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, mediating for you and I today. Praise the Lord He died and rose, because He's there right now for you and I on our behalf. In Paul's ministry, Paul was a man who was imprisoned, he was flogged, he was shipwrecked, but he did not turn away from God. And Paul spread the message of good throughout the whole Roman Empire. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. There's no amount of negative in life that God cannot overcome. He adds, He subtracts, He multiplies, He divides, and the answer is always positive. He fulfills His purpose, and He produces good. Folks, this is the story of Job. As I laid in bed last night going to sleep pondering all this today, that's Job's story. That's the story of the book of Job. Obedience to God, faithfulness to God, despite all the negatives of life. When you read the final chapter of Job, Job ended up with more than he started out. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching prosperity gospel here. I'm showing how God honors our faith. And God is a positive God who will always cause positive things amidst the darkness, because God is good. And He fulfills His purpose and produces good. And I might add that this is not the same as positive mental attitude. Positive mental attitude is important, but it is not powerful. Positive mental attitude focuses on the human mind rather than God's divine working. Positive mental attitude gives a false sense of hope, because we are human beings unable to overpower the enemy. If you think you're going to defeat the devil with positive mental attitude, you are biblically in error. But we have a positive God who comes along in the equation of life when it seems like there's more than we can handle, and He brings His goodness, His mercy, His compassion into the equation, and He wraps His arms around us and says, I got this. I got this. And I'm not only willing, but I'm able, and I will accomplish what I've set out to do. I wrote in my notes to you some examples of the negative. The Bible refers to them as evil or bad. Some of them are sickness, some death, some poverty, some hunger, some abuse. People struggle with this all the time. They say, if God's a good God, why does He allow this? Why did my relative, my loved one, my neighbor, why did they die? We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. Because there's some goodness, although we may not understand it at the time, there is some goodness that will come out of it if we just trust God in all of it. I don't know why God's allowing innocent children, thousands of children in Africa, to die of starvation. I don't know why God is allowing spousal abuse the way He does, to go on, to go on, and to go on. But we have to understand God is still present in those negative situations to give us hope, because that's the way He works, that's His purpose, and that's His character. That sometimes that's all we have is God. I know in some of my own personal struggles in life, I knew what was going on. I knew I was struggling spiritually. I knew that the enemy had his hands wrapped tightly around my neck. But yet, the only thing that I could think to pray was, God, I love You, and I'm not going to walk away from You. Sometimes a day, sometimes a week, sometimes a month, sometimes a year or two, but God still brought positive things from them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You see, the Bible is full of sickness and death and poverty and hunger and abuse, but God is there present, and if you sit to read it and to ponder it and to understand, you see the message of the whole Bible is God's positive influence on life. Trusting God for a positive outcome, no matter how many negatives there are, not only recognizes the power of God, but it also acknowledges who He is. He's positively sovereign, He's positively good, and He's positively God. And when you recognize God in those ways, God will never fail you. He may not answer in the way you think He should, but He will not fail to bring blessing and good things into your life, to carry you along, to show you His goodness. Every single one of God's people in the Bible had these struggles and struggled spiritually, and some even turned away from God for a while, but He did not let go of them and brought them back to Him. He showed them His goodness. And His goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do we really believe that when we say it? Do we take that into the depths of our hearts? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's arithmetic. He adds, He subtracts, He multiplies, He divides. But the outcome is always positive, because in Him there is no negative. I don't know how many of you noticed in your bulletin this morning, the bulletin started out with an equation. Small u plus big G equals big V. I want you to remember that, folks. You plus God equals victory. And that's God's arithmetic for us today. How God works is God's business, but I know God works positively. He works with the properties of life and manipulates things for His glory. He adds, He subtracts, He multiplies, and He divides, because that's the way He works. And He does it for His purpose, because that's who God is. Let's pray. Dear God, as we ponder the things in our lives that